This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. On the evening of his election, Barack Obama said he would follow through on an important campaign promise. Daughters Sasha and Malia would have a puppy in the White House. The history of first families and their dogs stretches back to the founding of the Republic. If you'd like to know more about this history, or if you love dogs, look for the book First Dogs, American Presidents and Their Best Friends. The bestseller was first published in 1997. It's now out in a new updated edition from Algonquin Paperbacks. The book's authors are Roy Rowan and Brooke Janis. Roy Rowan is an author and journalist whose resume includes stints at Lifetime and Fortune magazines. And Roy Rowan joins me this afternoon to share some stories from First Dogs. Roy Rowan, good to talk with you.
Well, nice to be with you, Celeste.
What did you make of all the excitement and anticipation of the Obama family's acquiring a puppy?
Well, I thought it was remarkable. You know, once he let the word out that he was going to get a pup for his daughters, breeders started volunteering dogs, people thinking up all kinds of names. I mean, you know, it was just a whirlwind of activity before they even had the dog. And then finally, when Ted Kennedy did give the first family this Portuguese water dog, he was already a celebrity by then.
Yeah. I think with children and dogs make a good story. We can relate to that, can't we?
Oh, I certainly do. Children and dogs, presidents and dogs make a good combination, too.
Yeah, yeah. Have presidents put dogs to uses other than as good public relations tools?
Oh, well, they've used them in many ways. The last chapter of the book, First Dogs, is called Weapons of Mass Distraction, not destruction. Mm-hmm. But Clinton certainly used Buddy, his chocolate lab, to help defuse the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and George W. Bush used Barney when his polls were sinking and the Iraq War was so unpopular. So Barney became a international celebrity himself. He was on; he was a movie star.
And also, the first President Bush, he was outshone there for a while by Millie.
Yes, that's right. Millie wrote her book. Millie's book. It outsold the president's memoir, which is a little embarrassing.
Yeah, the first story in the second chapter of First Dogs involves a man, a future president, who was then leading the troops in the American Revolution. Would you share the story of the dog some of George
Sure.
Washington's soldiers found, a lost and hungry dog?
Well, is this the General Howe's dog that you're referring to?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, Washington's troops discovered this dog on the battlefield and realized from the tag on the dog that it belonged to the British General Howe, and they returned the dog to General Howe. And that's something I don't think that would happen today in our modern warfare.
Yeah. George Washington said, get the dog back to General Howe.
George Washington was a lover of dogs. The first dogs that he received were presents from the Marquis de Lafayette in France, who gave Washington several hunting dogs to help cement relations between France and the new republic. And Washington then bred those dogs, and that's the origin of the American foxhound. And he gave some of them nice French names like Sweet Lips and Scent Well. He also gave them names like Drunkard and Tippler.
And were the first of the first dogs, did they have a place at the hearth, or were they kept outside waiting for the hunt?
Well, Washington, of course, wasn't in the White House.
Right.
He was in Mount Vernon, and they were mainly outside. Though they got inside, there's a story of one of Washington's dogs named Vulcan that got in and stole a cooked ham right off the dining room table before the Washington family could eat it.
And that's not the only time that's happened in our history, a dog taking off with dinner before people were seated.
Yeah, one of Franklin Roosevelt's dogs, Winx, they were planning a breakfast for the press, and they had all the breakfast lined up on the table, and Winx came down and ate them all before the press could get there.
There's a wonderful picture, one of the many wonderful pictures in the book, First Dogs. It's the first picture in the book. It's a dog belonging to Warren Harding.
Yes, Laddie Boy. Laddie Boy was in Airedale, and Harding had a hand-carved chair built so the dog could sit in on all the cabinet meetings. And Harding also had a habit of pretending the dog was being interviewed by the Washington Star so that all the criticisms he had of his staff or other people, his friends particularly who got him in trouble, came out of the dog's mouth instead of his own mouth.
Which president has had the most dogs?
Well, I don't know about the most dogs. Teddy Roosevelt had a house full of dogs, but his favorite was a little mutt named Skip that he took with him on hunting trips. And when he read, Skip would sit in his lap, and at night Skip supposedly slept on his bed. And I don't know that many, well, the few presidents' dogs have done that, I guess. But when Barack Obama was asked where Bo was going to sleep, he said, not in my bed.
Yeah. Where does Bo sleep? You know, that was such a big story, and now Bo's largely been under wraps, as are the girls.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
We haven't, since all the hullabaloo over Bo, we haven't really heard a lot about Bo, what his training has been like so far, and where he does sleep.
Well, he is being handled a lot by one of the outside garden staff. I mean, Michelle and the girls do walk him, and I guess the president does occasionally, but they're all pretty busy. So they have there's a man on the groundkeeping staff that really takes care of Bo a lot of the time.
Mm. Of all the stories in this book, do you have a favorite?
Well, I think the most famous dogs, and one of my favorite stories is Fowler, the Scotty that Franklin Roosevelt was given. Fowler went everywhere with Roosevelt. He was even aboard the cruiser Savannah when Roosevelt and Churchill signed the Atlantic Charter. And Churchill bought his dog, too, Rufus, and the two dogs got along pretty well, just as the president and prime minister did.
Hmm. Do you have a dog or dogs?
Oh, yes. When our children were growing up, we had a wonderful golden retriever. And unfortunately, when we moved to Hong Kong for a while, I had to send the dog out to my brother in Idaho, who's a veterinarian. He took care of the dog in his final years.
Yeah. During the first term of the Clinton administration, there was no dog. Buddy came along later. The Clintons had Sox, a cat. How often has a cat been the companion of choice for a president?
Well, I don't think the animal of choice. There have been many cats in the White House, but I think they played a subsidiary position to the dogs. The dog was always a famous animal. Some presidents have had all kinds of animals in the White House. I mean, Taft even had a cow at the White House grounds because he was a huge man, a 300-pound gentleman who liked his milk, and so he got the cow right there.
Fascinating stories. Mr. Rowan, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Well, nice. I had a lot of fun. Thank you, too, Celeste.
Roy Rowan is co-author with Brooke Janis of First Dogs, American Presidents and Their Best Friends. The book was first published back in the late 1990s. It's now out in a new updated edition from Algonquin Paperbacks.